Good morning. A warm welcome to Little Swatara. You saw some of the announcements on the screen. Please check your bulletin for other important announcements or the same ones just to remind you. I've found out I can be reminded 10 times and still forget if it's 10 days later. Does anybody else have any announcements? Okay, then we'll see some clips about baptisms or recent baptisms and enjoy. And don't forget the smiles and the greetings for each other.
We're having technical difficulties, but I just encourage you to come out this afternoon to the Schwamms, to their pool. Their home is just over here across the street from the church. Their children are going to be baptized, and that's at 3:00 this afternoon. So please come out and support them in that. Please rise and join in singing hymn number 17, We Gather Together.
As we prepare to come to the Lord's table, we reflect on our reasons for thanksgiving, faith, penitence, and love. In this time of silence, we remember the Christ who called us to break bread with one another, and we thoughtfully examine the state of our faithfulness and our unity with his body. Would you take a moment to examine yourselves prior to this time of service? After thoughtful examination, I'd invite you to join me in our unison prayer of consecration. O God, by your grace, we have become part of the family of faith. We have made a commitment to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Grant that as we partake of this bread and this cup, we might renew our vows to one another and to the Christ whom we serve. Amen. All of us who are in love and fellowship in the family of God, who do truly and earnestly repent of our sins, who humbly put our trust in Christ, and who desire his help that we might walk in newness of life, are invited to draw near to God and receive this Holy Communion to our comfort through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would the deacons please come forward? Luke tells us that Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me? Holy God, we pray your blessing on this sacred symbol of Christ's broken body. May we receive and partake of this bread in faith, recalling the life and death of Jesus Christ. Increase our gratitude and our obedience. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. As we eat this bread, may we affirm our faith in words first spoken by Christians many centuries ago. Would you join me in unison? The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. You may eat. We're told that Jesus said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And we are reminded, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we pray your blessing upon this sacred symbol of the blood of Jesus the Christ. Our hearts are lifted in thanksgiving for love poured out. As in faith, we drink this cup. May your forgiveness and your divine spirit be poured afresh into our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. in humble thanksgiving and joy for life so freely given. Repeat after me the words of faith. The cup which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. You may drink. Would you pray with me? O God, you are never far from us. You reach out and touch us through your Spirit, through symbols, and through the hands of those we love. We are deeply grateful to have a place at your table and to share in this sacred food. By your grace, may we continue on our pilgrimage, carrying into all of life the saving love of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. We're so thankful each and every day for the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're so thankful for the love and support of one another as the family of God. I invite you at this time, as a microphone comes around, to share in any joys or concerns that you would like to, and we'll be glad to pray for those.
I'd like prayer for Anthony. He had an accident out front here this week, and we're praying that he'll come around. He just hurt his knees, and I don't know if there's more.
I'd like us to have prayer for Ray Murky, who's been in the hospital for a week with heart problems.
I'd like to just give everyone an update on my grandfather, Hershey Meyer. He will be purchasing a smartphone soon, so we won't see him here at Little Swatara, but he will be with us online, and that's a decision he's come to with his current situation with Anna Mary. So appreciate your prayers, continued prayers for that family. Lord, we just praise you this morning. We lift up your holy name. We know that you are in control, no matter how spiraling our worlds may seem. So, Lord, we just pause this morning. We come to you. We sit at your feet, and we wait upon you with patience for your answers, for your healing touch, for your comfort, for your blessing in our lives. For we know, Lord, you are a very active God. You are on the move. You are on the move in our midst. And so we thank you, Father, for being with us this morning, for reaching out to us with your loving hands and pouring upon your forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy. We do think, Lord, of Anthony this morning, the accident that he was in and others involved, Lord, that you would just heal them. You would bring them to total wholeness in their bodies and just allow them to be free of pain, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you watch over us each and every day. And we pray your protection over each of us as we leave this place and as we enter onto these roads. They can be a dangerous place, but Lord, give us awareness and help us to know our surroundings as we drive. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather as Little Svetlana. We know many churches across the globe are meeting even now, and we pray for our sister church, Pottstown Church of the Brethren, and lift them up in their leadership and everyone attending that church this morning, and just pray that you would just move among them and just allow them to know your presence in a mighty, powerful way. We continue, Father, to lift up the Bryant family, and Lord, you know the direction in which they are going, and we just continue to wrap our loving arms around them and ask that you would do the same and comfort them and give them guidance and continue to give Daniel peace through this process. And we just pray for continued resolution and answers for the Bryant family. We lift up Carl this morning, Lord, and ask that you would continue to bless him in his current state, Lord. And each day and each week we see he loses a little more weight, Lord, but we're just praying, Lord, that you would just continue to give him sustenance, continue to allow him to consume the nutrients that he does each day, and be with Louise as well and bless her and the entire family that surrounds Carl in this time, and just allow them to know just how much they are loved and appreciated. We think of Kenny Ziegler this morning and Linda Ziegler this morning, and just pray your abundant blessings over each of them, Lord, as they heal and as they recover and as they find their way back to wholeness, Lord. Give them patience, give them endurance, give them strength through this time. And I ask that same thing for Hershey this morning, that you would be with him and you would give him strength and Anna Mary strength, and just allow them to know that they are dearly loved by this congregation and by so many people. And we just ask, Lord, your hand of healing would be upon them to give them endurance through each day and strength and grace and mercy that they need. And we lift up our sister Ruth Keeney this morning and our brother Craig Smith. Lord, you know the weakened state that Ruth is experiencing right now. We do thank you that Craig is feeling better. But Lord, we just ask you would continue to be with each of them. We love them so much, Lord. We know you love them even more. And we just think of Ray Murky this morning and the heart condition he has. And Lord, you are the master physician. And again, we're asking, if it be your will, that you would just extend your healing hand upon Ray and upon each of those individuals that come to our mind during these next few moments of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Lord, we rejoice because we know that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice too, Lord, because we know that our salvation is near. And we continue, Lord, in this world that we live in, to trust you, to seek you, to know that we can find you, that you're never far from us. So thank you, Lord, for traversing through this life hand in hand with us, knowing that we're never alone. Thank you, Lord, for each person gathered here this morning. You know what's on their hearts. You know what's consuming them right now. You know the joys. You know the concerns that they have. And I just place each of them into your loving arms and ask that you would wrap your arms around them and just let them know your peace and let them know your comfort in mighty and real ways. And we pray all this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Please rise and join in singing 338.
Thank you.
The love of wealth can foster an attitude of arrogance that causes us to lose compassion for the poor, causes us to fail as children of God by failing to serve those he loves. Our question that we should be asking is not, how much should I give? Rather, how much do I need to keep? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us to treasure all the gifts we receive daily in great abundance. Instill in us a desire and ability to share of our goods and of ourselves to encourage and support those around us. Give us compassion and empathy to see who needs a kind word and a helping hand. Give us eyes to see and a heart to serve. Bless these gifts that we offer freely. This is what we ask in your name. Amen.
I would like to invite the children to come join me up front. Nice scooch here. Thank you. All right, good morning. Today I want to talk to you about controlling anger. Has anyone here ever been really angry about something? I'm sure we all have. Do you ever get so mad that maybe you want to kick a wall or punch a pillow or scream? Or maybe you've spoken to some unkind words to others when you were angry, right? The Bible tells us that we need to manage our anger correctly or we can sin. I have a story I'd like to share with you this morning. It's called A Bag of Nails. Brought a couple props with me. So I brought a hammer, a piece of wood, and a bag of nails. And you'll understand why after we read the story. There once was a young boy with a very bad temper. The boy's father wanted to teach him a lesson, so he gave him a bag of nails and told him that every time he lost his temper, he must hammer a nail into their wooden fence. So on the first day of this lesson, the little boy had driven 37 nails into the fence. He was really, really mad. So I didn't bring 37 nails with me, but I did bring a few. So I'm going to nail a couple into the board. Over the course of the next few weeks, the little boy began to control his temper, so the number of nails that were hammered into the fence dramatically decreased. It wasn't long before the little boy discovered that it was easier to hold his temper than to drive those nails into the fence. Let's do another one here. Then the day finally came when the little boy didn't lose his temper even once, and he became so proud of himself, he couldn't wait to tell his father. Pleased, his father suggested that now he pull out one nail for each day that he could hold his temper. So several weeks went by, and the day finally came when the young boy was able to tell his father that all the nails were gone. So every day he did not have to get angry, he pulled out a nail. Very gently, the father took his son by the hand and led him to the fence. Take the last one out. "You've done very well, my son," he smiled. "But look at the holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same again. See the holes in there? Now imagine hundreds of holes in the fence, right? Those are only three holes." The little boy listened carefully as his father continued to speak. "When you say things in anger, they leave permanent scars, just like the holes in the fence. And no matter how many times you say you're sorry, those wounds will still be there." What do you think this story has taught us? What do you think? So all the holes in the fence were because of his anger, right? So the angry things that he'd done, maybe he said some unkind words, but he learned to control those things. But the holes will always be here, right? Yeah, they can leave scars, they can really hurt people, the angry things that we do and say. God knows that we can get angry sometimes, but we can't allow it to control us because it can hurt people, leaving scars that can even lead us to sin. God wants us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and not become angry. Here's some tips to help you with those. When you feel angry, you can take 3 deep breaths. That will make you slow to speak, just like the Bible says. Then hear what the other person's saying instead of interrupting to argue. That will make you quick to listen. You can also say a really quick prayer if you're feeling angry, something like, "God, please help me calm down." That will make you slow to become angry. Let's pray together. Dear God, help us to learn to keep our anger and things we say under control. Allow us to listen to others and to use our mouths to say kind things instead of mean things. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. be strong. I want to be baptized because I feel I am ready to grow with him. And I'm ready to get baptized because I believe in Jesus and I want to grow with him.
I want to get baptized because I want to get closer to God.
So that was Macy Cooper and Aiden Schwamm, and we pray that you'd consider joining us this afternoon just right across the road on Little Swatara Church of the Brethren Road. Look for the tall pine trees and make your way back the driveway. We'd love to see you at 3 p.m. to support those individuals. So we've all heard it said before, how are you? Or like Joey Triviani from Friends would say, how you doing? Or how you feeling? Everything all right? And how often do we respond, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm doing great. But are we really? Are we really fine? Are we really good? Is life really that great? Or do we simply not want to talk about it? We don't want to bother anybody with our problems or bring anyone down. Or somehow do we think that nobody really cares? But friends, this is church. We are family. We are together. We are to be united. And as Christians walking the talk, this question deserves our pause. This question longs to be answered. For so many in the world, it's a desperate place, a lonely place to be. You can see it in their eyes. You can hear it in the tone of their voice. They're not okay. And they need someone to listen. These questions revolve around our feelings. And let's be honest, friends, we don't all like the place where emotions are involved. So some share, some won't. But friends, please know this today. That God cares, that God is for you, that God loves you, that God has been in your shoes. He knows what it feels like to hurt inside. And friends, if God cares, we should care too. Imagine with me a world in which we listen, a world in which we respond. A world in which we are slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. A world in which this little boy I'm about to share a story about is understood. He belonged to a small country church, and it was communion day, much like today. The deacons would pass around the bread and juice. Well, one Sunday, this boy and his family attended a church that was a bit more formal. What his church called bread and juice, this one referred to as the elements. A word that this young boy simply didn't understand. So as communion began, the pastor said, "If the deacons will come forward, the elements will pass among us." The boy was suddenly super excited, and his family didn't know why. And he leaned over, whispering something that caused the family to burst out hysterically. With all eyes suddenly on them, they took the little boy by the hand, and they made a hasty exit. All the way to the car, the little boy protested, "Mom, Mom, Dad, we're going to miss the circus. The pastor said the elephants were going to pass among us." Friends, there is so much joy in our fellowship. There are so many varying levels of understanding, but we are in this together. I'd invite you to turn with me to our scripture passage, and it's always inspiring to be able to read the Word of God aloud together. So turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 1, verses 19 to 26. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 26. Read with me aloud. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this.
Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The word of the Lord for his people. Would you pray with me? Father, we humbly come before you. We confess that there are times we hear your word, we know your word, it's even upon your lips, but Father, we struggle at times to do what your word says. So I pray this morning, Father, you would just open our hearts and our minds, and through the Holy Spirit, allow each of us to receive what you have, especially for us today. May your talk, your word, be what we walk, what we do in our lives. And as we look into that mirror, may we see a reflection of you that goes out into a world to others. Amen. It's a fair statement to say there's not a shortage of Bible studies online and in bookstores. For fun, I Googled Bible studies, and there were countless results with unique topics and wonderful teachings about God's word. As a matter of fact, we have just read one now. You see, friends, God wants us to read and to hear his message. His message that contains grace, his message that contains truth. But then, friends, he wants us to do more than that. He expects us to act upon what we heard. So for all intents and purposes, what if you came to me and asked me how to put together a shed? Now, I'm not your man, but if I were, I would give you detailed instructions. But then what if you left and you never applied anything you heard? More than likely, your shed wouldn't be put together. So this passage is taking us in a bit of a different direction. James opens with a warning repeated and needed in modern culture: be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Anger, James says, does not produce godly righteousness. Listening with patience and perseverance allows us to receive with meekness the word of God. We find that the source of abundant life in the scriptures, not in our own impulsive emotions. You see, James here is writing to religious people. They know God's law. But James keeps pushing them and pushing them, and he pushes us to take the next step. He's saying, don't just hear it, do it. In other words, don't just reject the immorality of the culture around us, but be careful about our own anger, our own pride. Friends, let our faith show up in our actions. Now, how many of us, I'd like to see your hands, think that religion is a good thing? Here's what we know. A lot of people consider themselves spiritual, but they do not consider themselves religious. And here's why. To them, religion seems narrow, restrictive, maybe even hateful toward people outside religion. But when believers behave according to the Bible's teaching, we look for opportunities to care for those people around us, especially those with the most need. Now, if you're with me, I need to hear you say, yup, yup. Does this make sense? Yup, yup. This, my friends, is walking the talk. And beyond that, can we honestly proclaim that we're careful about what we say? Maybe we consider ourselves religious. Maybe we've been a Christian for quite some time now. We might even say we have this faith thing figured out. But James pushes us further. He's saying, put our feet to our words. Live what we say we believe. Walk the talk. Now, I invite us this morning. In a moment, you're about to see a mirror on the screen. How many of us look into a mirror each day? And how many of us, when we look into that mirror, we see a hair out of place? We look into that mirror and we see barbecue or ketchup on our face. There's something in our teeth, and everyone's nightmare, it happened to me this morning, a pimple. But don't worry, when my wife sees it, she is the pimple popper of all pimple poppers. But usually I run. But the bottom line, friends, is when we look in the mirror and we see something wrong with our appearance, we fix it. We fix our hair, we wipe our face, we use a toothpick, and we do everything we can to remove that pimple. But when we don't do anything, hear what the scripture just said. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You see, friends, the mirror gives us a reflection. When we are walking this life, there's another reflection that should be shown. And we know that that reflection is our life in Christ. And our life in Christ entails love and forgiveness and grace and mercy. So this morning, I wonder, as we look in that mirror, could we ponder these questions? Perhaps you're one who likes to write them down. And one by one, we'll see these questions on the screen. Do we listen more than we speak? Now, you know me quite well. I love to talk. So this is one that I need to ask myself daily. Am I actually listening more than I'm speaking? Do we listen more than we speak? The second question we could ask ourselves is, do we keep our anger in check? As Ashley demonstrated this morning, how many nails are in our fence? How many scars have we built up upon others? Is anger an issue for you? Does it need to be kept in check? With Christ's help, it can be. Third question would be, are we careful about what we say? Often we hear the phrase, bite your tongue, or take a deep breath, or count to 10. Whatever it is, are we being careful about what we say? because we know that words can damage. We know that words can hurt. So be encouraged. Ask yourself this week, are you careful about what you're saying? Fourth, do we put into practice what we hear in God's word? One of the things I'm continuously blown away by is the amount of wisdom, the amount of knowledge that people have. But that wisdom and knowledge is stored up here. It never transfers to our hearts. But friends, when that wisdom and knowledge transfers to our heart, we will be living a life unlike any other, because we'll be surrendered, we'll be obedient to God's word, and we won't just be hearing it, putting it into our minds, but we will be practicing what it says. Can you imagine the difference in the world if we did this? And finally, do we let God's implanted word grow within us? Do we let God's implanted word grow within us? As you heard from our baptismal candidates today, they want to grow in Christ, and it's my desire, and I pray it's your desire, that you too would want to grow in Christ. And in order for that to happen, God's implanted word will cause that. But you need to let it soak. You need to continue to read it day in and day out. And as that soaks into your being, it becomes who you are. But when we miss that day of reading or listening to a Bible study or hearing God's word, have you ever noticed that day just seems a bit off? And that's why. It's implanted within us, but we haven't really been doing much growing because we've neglected it. So as we pray, I invite us to consider what issue James may be calling us to address this week. Lord, you know us. We are so thankful that you know us. You know our issues. You know the anger that we might deal with. You know the impatience we might have, and we're quick to talk, slow to listen. You know, Lord, that there are ways in which we say things and they quickly go from our lips and we wish we could have them back. So Lord, today we just pause. We acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, and we long for you to be in control. But Lord, for so long, we've always had it in our minds of what your word says. But today, we take it from our mind, we transfer it to our heart, and we place it into others. Because our desire is to love one another, to show compassion for one another, to show forgiveness, and allow grace and mercy to flow from us. So we repent this morning. Forgive us, Lord, if we've made a mistake in doing so. But Lord, pick us up, brush us off, and send us forth. And let us be about doing what your word says. And it's in the precious, precious name of Jesus our Lord we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Beautiful singing this morning. May our lives simply be a reflection of who Jesus is. May we spend time this week continuing to look into our lives, seeing where we're reflecting God and where we're not. And may we make adjustments. And with God's help, may we be a true reflection of Christ's image. Amen.